dinged up in last night's game? Or are you a weekend warrior that still thinks you got what it takes to play, but nagging injuries are slowing you down?
It's time to talk to some of the region's top sports medicine specialists. This is the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show.
All you ever wanted to know about sports medicine, and maybe just a little bit more.
Well, we're back. We are back. I want to thank everybody from Mosh having us back, man. Dr. Bill Pennington, my in-studio co-host this week? I guess that's what I'm going to call you.
I guess that's what I am. Yeah.
How are you?
Be here this week, next week.
And oh, that's awesome.
We're going to have a lot of docs coming through this year. We're really excited to be back with you guys and hopefully can have some great shows all year.
You know, it's funny because, and we're going to go high school football, high school basketball. So we'll go from now till the end of March or so. And when we were off, we took a break, and I got so many calls and people on the street saying, "Hey, is that coming back?" And I said, "Yeah, we're going to come back mid-August." And people would ask me questions. Like I knew, I said, "Man, wait for the show.
You're an expert now.
Or
man.
Call, yeah. Well, I know who to call. I can tell you that." The other part about this, Dr. Pennington, and I just want to get this out now. When we started the show, not only people here at Entercom, but friends of mine, coaches, and people that would call in to the station and say, "Hey, look, I've got a son, I've got a daughter, I've got a problem with my foot. Who would I contact?" I get emails from people I don't know that say, "Look, thank you for recommending this, because Mosh is just different than anything else I've been through." So I appreciate what you guys do. Thank you. It makes me look good.
Well, we appreciate your support. I mean, I think I get those emails from you a lot of times,
right?
That you'll say, "Hey, this person has a foot problem. This person has a back problem." That, you know, we're all sports medicine docs, but the great thing about our program is we have every specialty covered, and we're very proud of ourselves that we have great fellowship trained docs that if you have something that needs to be taken care of, we're happy to get you in. We're happy to get you in right away and take great care of you. We always, our motto is we put the patient first, and we want to get you back in the game as quickly as we can.
That's awesome. You know, I talked during a break for the show that I just did prior to the scenario show, and Kay said, what's the difference between these guys? Because I was telling Josh Brown, and I said, you know, their first thing to do is not let's have surgery. Let's go into the knife. What they're looking for is let's get you back on the field, back on the court. And if we can do that without having surgery, let's take that approach. And if that doesn't work, then, you know, we'll look at this. And that's different than some of the people in your business.
I agree with you. And I think today's show is going to show that quite a bit. We've assembled not only a great physician team, but who we've surrounded ourselves. The part of any team, you know, it's easy to look at Aaron Rodgers and Eddie Lacy and Jordy Nelson and think they're awesome, but they've got a great line in front of them.
You bet.
Or hopefully have a great line in front of them this
year.
Let's hope. But that's the thing, is our support staff, our therapists, our trainers, going right down to, if you're in the hospital, our nurses, the people, everybody you come across, we think they're all from the A-list, and we think they're all number one draft picks, and hopefully that will correspond with the kind of care that our patients get. And like you said, if we can get them better without surgery, we are thrilled with that. I tell patients all the time in the office, I do a lot of surgery, but I don't operate a lot more than I operate. And it's because of the folks that, like we have sitting next to me, that help us do that.
And well, we're going to introduce him right now. In fact, there's two guys in studio with us. One is a certified athletic trainer, doctor of physical therapy. And I'm going to get his name right this time. I'm telling you, because he wrote it out for me. Dan Garbaz. Perfect,
good
right?
Job, yep.
Yeah, thanks for helping me out with that. I appreciate it.
No problem.
Daniel, how are you today?
Excellent. How you been?
I'm doing well. I'm excited. High school football season for me is like, you know, here we go. And I get real busy, and I really like that. It keeps me out of any trouble at all. And I just like when high school kids get to compete. And we're going to talk a little bit about baseball and pitching today. In fact, sitting next to you is Evan Wick. Evan, it's nice to meet you.
Hey, nice to meet you too. How
yeah,
you doing?
Good. Hey, tell us Evan's story real quick.
Well, we'll let Evan do a lot of the talking for himself, but Evan is now, I believe, a rising sophomore at Viterbo College. He's a catcher there. He grew up locally at East Troy and was a standout catcher here and plays college ball and coaches youth ball during the summer. And the reason we got to know him is because, like many of our 18 to 19-year-old throwers, and yes, catchers throw more than pitchers, he ran into a little bit of a shoulder problem, which we had the privilege of taking care of him for.
Evan, how's Viterbo? That's a beautiful campus.
Oh, it is. I love it. Honestly, I picked a school for school.
Yeah,
not,
you bet.
Not just because of baseball, but I mean, that's obviously a huge draw. But
yeah, it's really nice. And we'll talk to Evan quite a bit throughout the show on some of the things that are going on with him. Can we talk a little bit about pro football for a minute? Because you know what? When a couple of things have come up, obviously, with the Packers, and I've got a couple of questions. I want to do that this segment. Did it surprise you that Jordy Nelson had a hiccup with the other knee when he was working so hard to get back on the field, and all of a sudden they said, hold on, we got to pull him back because his other knee's hurting?
Well, in that game, you're not surprised by anything.
Sure. You know,
everybody would expect his ACL knee to be giving him the problems. Quite honestly, isolated ACL tears do quite well after getting repaired, and probably all the rehab emphasis that he has put on that knee made it pretty strong. That you know, the other knee being hurt, that's just football. That's football.
Dan, your same question to you. It seems to me as a coach that when somebody has an injury on one leg, that they work so hard to get that leg back that the other leg sometimes gets to be a problem.
Yeah, there's actually a nice study out there for ACL tears that basically what ended up happening, what they would do is someone would tear their ACL, but they would test the opposite leg and test their strength and range of motion and everything like that, and they'd go through all their rehab, and then when they're ready for return to sports, they'd retest the non-involved leg. That would actually show they'd gotten weaker substantially.
Right.
Because number one, they're not working out as hard. Their focus is on the repaired ACL right there, try to build up that strength. And they kind of like forget about the opposite leg. So when I'm treating my patients, I have a 45-minute window to treat them.
Right.
I'm like, listen, I'm going to focus on this leg, but when you go home, you got to do both legs.
Yeah, do both legs.
Yeah, because the other one's going to be going backwards, and I don't need you walking around in circles, basically.
Hey, the backup quarterback for the Packers re-aggravated his ankle injury. And yet when Mike McCarthy talks about injuries, I never believe anything he says, but he insisted that Hundley's new, quote, ankle injury isn't quite as bad as the first one. But this was after they said it's the same thing. He just re-injured it. And then McCarthy came out and said, hey, it's the new ankle injury isn't quite as bad as the first one. Do you as a doctor think, well, maybe he went in, they let him back on the field too early if he re-injured it that quickly?
It's real easy to play armchair quarterback in situations like this. I think the key is I don't think any of us really know what's going on. You're also dealing with a player who's fighting for a roster spot, and so they're going to be pushing to get back. Bottom line is anything like this, it's going to be a nagging problem. They're going to be doing whatever they can to support him. Ankles are tough in football. He's in, you know, to require the agility of that position. Get ready to hear about that ankle all year, and hopefully we don't need that backup.
Hopefully we don't. Speaking of ankles, Ty Montgomery, I don't think anybody had any idea last year what a serious injury that was. And in the paragraph that I have here, he's returning from an extremely serious operation. And I don't think they ever really said that last year, but he never came back. And I guess the difference between, you know, a non-serious, I guess if it's a high ankle sprain or high ankle is where the real long period comes in, correct?
Right. It just involves more of the ligaments around the ankle, and you need to take a long time off after having those repaired versus just a standard lateral ligament injury. So it requires more time off of it. And then, as Dan alluded to, a lot more rehab.
You know, Dan, they're talking about keeping him on a short leash. The last thing they want is for him to re-injure that. They want to make sure he's 100% before they just let him go. And in preseason, especially in the NFL, you never know if he's 100% or not. Because if they're not going to unleash him right now, they're going to wait until the games, you know, mean something. So I'm wondering, with an ankle surgery that Montgomery had, how intensive was the rehab to get him back to where he's at right now, do you think?
I mean, basically, after surgeries like that, ankles are always complicated because it's not a straightforward motion. It's not like straight up and down, in and out. There's like certain angles you have to work on. I mean, the ankle is a very complicated joint. There's so many bones, ligaments, joints, muscles that you have to work with. I mean, and then I always look at the leg. You don't treat just the ankle. You treat the ankle, the knee, the hip, the core, because like if one part of the body isn't working, everything's going to kind of fall down with it. It's kind of like a domino effect.
Right.
So, I mean, you can't just make sure the ankle's working. You got to make sure everything else is functioning, because, again, he's got to perform at such a high level, such a high speed that I've never been to that level. But, like, yeah, I mean, he's got to make sure he's 100%, and, again, got to – like be able to like run down the field without pain, cut all, and perform agility type stuff like that. So,
and I'd like to just put a little shout out there, Mike, as you know, at Mosh, we cover, I believe, 27 local high school football teams. And I personally cover three of them. If we're talking about ankles, obviously football, basketball involves a lot of stress and a lot of ankle injuries. We are very proactive in recommending ankle braces. In the old days, we would get taped. The braces are better. We try to encourage all of our kids to wear them. And what I tell my athletes is, because I run into a lot of resistance from all of these players. They think that the braces slow them down. They don't. And the final thing is, I've never had one of my kids wearing braces come in with an ankle injury. But the ones who refuse to wear the braces, especially on a lot of our fields, they're not perfect. They roll their ankles, and then we're stuck dealing with them, trying to get them through a season. So, really, I encourage the use of braces in these kids. I don't care if you're the star running back, the quarterback, you'll run just fine.
Hey, so that's a great point, and because there's a lot of controversy on the basketball side, and I'm a basketball coach at one of the schools where you're our doctor, at Greendale Martin Luther, and some people say, hey, look, if they've never had an ankle injury, don't brace it. And the head coach over at Martin Luther, Coach Wallersheim, believes in, he gets the braces for the kids, and you're going to wear them every practice, and you're going to wear them every game. And knock on wood, it's been really successful for him.
That's a coach who doesn't want to lose players, and it will not slow you down, and it's definitely the right thing to do.
Good. I'm really happy you said that, because there's been all this talk, you don't want to do that. And he said, look, this has been highly successful for me. Before we get to a break, last quick question. Jeff Janis. He's gotten, you know, this. He broke his hand. He's got broken bones in the index finger. Undergoing surgery. He's going to miss 4 to 6 weeks. He had some screws inserted in the hand. That's a tough injury for a wide receiver, boys. It just is. Especially for a guy fighting for a roster spot. 4 to 6 weeks seems like a long time for me with a broken bone in the index finger.
Well, the index finger, the way we look at seriousness of hand injuries is if it's out towards the pinky finger or the ring finger, we can be a little bit more aggressive about it. But, boy, when you get to the middle of the hand and the index finger, it's real important that those heal up correctly. It's going to take 4 to 6 weeks for those bones to heal. And even with screws in there, he takes the wrong impact and he'd be right back to the drawing board. So, you know, it's probably something that they will be 4 weeks. So hopefully it's four, but 6 weeks is probably more realistic.
Wow. Hey, I'm sorry. I got to ask you one last one. I read this regarding Larry Fitzgerald with the Cardinals. He's dealing with a slight, quote unquote, slight MCL sprain. There are slight and there are more aggressive MCL strains, correct?
There is, yes.
Yeah, so he's a guy that with fantasy leagues coming up, don't worry about that. You'd pick them.
I'd pick them.
There you go. That's Dr. Bill Pennington from Mosh. More information, go to mymosh.com. We'll continue our conversation. We're going to talk a little bit more with Evan Wick from East Troy. Valpo, right? No, Viterbo, excuse me.
Viterbo.
Yeah, I've been on that campus a bunch. Viterbo, and we'll talk to Evan on the other side of the break. This is the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. Welcome back to the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. That's ACDC, brought to you by Evan Wick. Didn't know those East Troy boys listened to AC/DC. We were all thinking it was Taylor Swift, but he threw us a curveball.
He did admit enjoying Taylor Swift.
Yeah, no doubt. Hey, Evan, let's talk if we can a little bit about what May 20th you had your surgery at Mosh, correct?
Yes.
And what did you have done?
Labral repair.
And how did you know? Was it just hurting? Was it something that happened on a one-time shot, or was it overuse, or what do you think?
I mean, personally, I think it's overuse. I went through my whole senior year with a little bit of pain. Not a whole lot of time right there to get anything done. Rolling into the summer Legion baseball, I was kind of our only catcher. Kind of stuck right there. And then I decided, you know, once that's done, I got a couple months off. Just going to kind of take it easy with the throwing. Rolling to fall baseball at Viterbo. First day of practice, first throw letting it go, boom, it was gone. It hurt bad.
Yeah.
And I just kind of cut it.
Does that, you're kind of shaking your head. And when you started, Dr. Pennington, shaking your head the most was when he said he was the only catcher and he had pain, but he had to keep playing.
Yeah, you know, all of these guys, they play a lot of baseball. And the way what happens is through the years, through throwing, your shoulder fatigues and you develop poor mechanics. Basically, you get contractures of the shoulder. When he was having that early pain, he probably had, as Dan will talk about, various things where he'll get tight in his posterior capsule, he'll get weak in his muscles in the front of his shoulder. And he just basically, it leads to a cascade where if it goes long enough, you keep playing, you'll develop a labral tear. And then if it gets real bad, you get a rotator cuff tear along with that. And so it's a typical thing that you hear about these 17, 18-year-old guys who just keep playing through the pain. Evan's the only catcher. And remember, catchers have a higher pitch count than any pitcher they throw on the mound because they're throwing every ball back plus playing the game. So it's a setup for where Evan ended up ultimately.
Hey, Dan, when you talk about mechanics with this, even if he had the best mechanics, if he overuses that arm, he is a recipe for disaster, correct?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, even like major league pitchers and athletes, they take time off, like extended time off to rest those arms, and they do cross training and other strength and conditioning to prep that arm for the rigors of throwing. And again, as we were talking about during the break, like growing up playing football, basketball, baseball, we had that cross training. We had that time off for the arm to recoup and rest. Nowadays, kids are starting to play baseball year round, which is a good thing. You have a passion for a sport. You have a passion for a game. You love the game. You want to be good at it. But again, like anything else, you overuse it, use it too much, things start to wear out. And the younger you are, you're not physically prepped for this, you're not physiologically prepped for like the rigors of throwing so much, so things tend to wear out, and that's where we're seeing more elbow problems, shoulder problems, and kids are getting younger with these. I mean, my coworker evaled a patient yesterday who had a little league elbow at 10 years old, and I don't remember any of my teammates having labral issues or elbow problems. And
Let me ask you a question. So I've got a guy that lives kitty corner from me, John, and his son is big. Noah's big into youth baseball, and I said to him, this was 2 weeks ago. Don't teach him. I mean, he's nine. Don't teach him curveball. Just let him throw a fastball. Let him throw. Don't let him play shortstop. Let him play the outfield. He said, you know, there's new information coming out that it's okay if you throw curveballs at that age. Dr. Pennington, you're the guy, and I said to him, 2 weeks from now, I'd listen to this show, because I'm going to tell you not to. But when I got Dr. Pennington telling you, then you'll listen. So,
John, I tell you, I coached a lot of baseball with my kids until they made it into high school. And I will tell you, there's nothing more effective than just having a kid who throws strikes, doesn't walk people, a four-seam, a two-seam fastball, and a changeup is really all you need. And all of the articles that are written about, yeah, it's okay for these young kids to throw curveballs, I personally do not believe them. I think they're written by a bunch of dads who are coaching their kids. And you know what? We all like to see the Evan Wicks of the world. We don't like to see these 9 and 10-year-old curveballs or curveball throwers who are done playing baseball by the time they're sophomores because their elbows and their shoulders are shot. It just happens. No reason to do it. No reason to abuse these kids' arms.
There's a kid that plays quarterback right now for Brookfield East, Brookfield Central. His dad, I coached in Little League or Pony League baseball, Paul Leshinsky. And Paul, his brothers all taught him how to throw a curveball. He's a little guy, and he could make a kid dive out of the batter's box and the umpire say strike. And you keep telling him, knock it off. Don't do that. Just throw a fastball. Just throw it straight. He ended up going to Coastal Carolina. He's a center fielder. Sophomore year, he could barely throw to the cutoff anymore because of all the damage he did. And you tell people that. These articles are out there now because this neighbor of mine said, no, that's old school. That's old school. I'm reading this stuff, and it's going to be fine as long as we don't overdo it. And I said, he's nine. He's got so much growing to do at this point. And so I'm glad you said that, Dr. Pennington, because I just think that the parents out there that are letting their kids and teaching their kids at that age to throw curveballs and throw junk at that age just so that they can be really good against other nine-year-olds are just a recipe for disaster. Evan, you're laughing. You know what I'm talking about.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, because at 9, 10, 11, you're the guy. And you know what? By the time you're 14, if you can't throw it from the hole at shortstop to first base because of all this damage you've done, you know, your baseball career is probably, you're going to be playing softball in my kind of league, you know, in the church league or the bar leagues, and you don't want to do that.
Well, I mean, by the time that you're 9 to then 14, who knows if you're still playing baseball at that point? You don't know. So why try and teach a curveball at that point? It doesn't make sense to me.
Dan, when people come and they're talking to you about this kind of stuff, mm-hmm. And you understand mechanics better than most, you I'm sure on the same page with Dr. Pennington where you're saying just throw a two or a four seam fastball and be done with it.
Oh, absolutely. But the other thing is, it's not only like the fact that they can throw a curveball, it's they're throwing it improperly as well. Like I remember I had a pitcher come to me with the elbow pain. And what pitches do you throw? Fastball, curveball. How do you throw your curveball? And I'm like, slowly show me your mechanics. And everybody flicks that wrist right there. And that's where you get that elbow problem from, because that's where that injury comes from, is that flick of the wrist. So when you throw a proper curveball, you have to stabilize the wrist a little bit better. And again, going back to what I said earlier, at 9, 10, 11 years old, they're not developed enough to throw that often. And again, at that age, you don't need a curveball. You just, like Dr. Pennington said, a good like fastball, two-seam, four-seam, and just kind of keep the batter off on their toes and keep them guessing a little bit.
Hey, Evan, we only have a minute or two in this, and we'll continue on the other side of the break. But can we walk through your process here? On May 20th, you had the surgery. The follow-up on that, if you've been working with Dan, is that how that works?
Yeah.
So is that once a week, twice a week, daily? How does that go?
Just twice a week.
And so you come in and work with him, and then when he's done, he certainly has homework for you. He makes sure that you're doing some stuff at home to continue the process. How are you feeling now?
I feel a whole lot better. I mean, I feel like I could throw, but I know I can't.
Dr. Pennington snapped and he's looking at you. He's like, don't you dare. You know, we're going to go to a break. I got two gloves and a ball at my desk. We can go, let's play a little long toss out in the parking lot.
I can't.
When will he be able to start throwing again?
Well, what's funny is when we were walking in, I said, hey, Evan, how far out are you? He goes, 4 months out, 4 months out. And then he just said his surgery is on May 20th. He's a typical thrower who already cut a month off of his recovery. I really like these guys to wait, earliest is 5-6 months to get back into a throwing program. And that's what Dan's going to talk about is, you know, the throwing pro, the rehab, the throwing program. And then, you know, again, what he's really put together a great program for prevention and then hopefully keeping these guys on the field once they do get fixed. He's one of our best guys. He's really put an emphasis on this, the throwing athlete.
Guys, let's get to a break. We'll continue our conversation. The second half, I want to get your take on why the Tommy John surgeries have just gone skyrocketing as far as the amount of people. And then we'll also talk with Dan about the whole process and make sure that Evan's not thrown during this break. These guys would tackle him. That's not going to happen. This is the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. Def Leppard, brought to you by Dan Garbaz. But that. Welcome back to the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. I'm Mike McGivern, alongside my co-host, Dr. Bill Pennington, and our special guest in studio. We've got Evan Wick. He's from Viterbo. He's a catcher, and on May 20th, had surgery with the boys at Mosh. We're talking about getting him back to the field. And what it's going to take. I know he wants to start throwing as soon as possible, and these boys do not want him throwing anytime soon. Hey, Dan, let's talk a little bit about the process now. Is he right on track of where he should be?
Oh, absolutely. Strength's good, range of motion's good, and basically just building up that endurance in that shoulder, maintaining the shoulder blade strength, and like I said, starting to pepper in some plyometric training with him, just real gentle type stuff. So, yeah, he's on track. He's good to go. We're just got to wait now.
So, he says 4 months. We say 3 months because that's what it is. Evan, good try, though. That was a really good try, young man. When he comes to see you now, compared to when he first got done with the surgery, when he first got done, what are you just trying to do? You're just trying to get a range of motion with him? Or? Yeah.
So the first couple weeks, I always tell my patients this after a labral repair or rotator cuff surgery, come in with stories to talk about because it's going to be a long and boring process. It's going to be me working on that shoulder, getting that range of motion back, working on that capsule, and you're just going to be doing some postural type stuff because we don't want that shoulder activated. We want everything to scar down and heal. And then basically, as we go through the protocol, then we start active range of motion. We start some gentle strengthening and just kind of add on from there as time goes on.
Dr. Pennington, so you guys obviously are a team. I mean, Dan's kind of doing what you want him to do. And you guys are on the same team as far as, look, this kid's not going to throw until 5 or 6 months. Until we say he's ready to go. We're not going to let him throw. How much after the surgery do you keep in contact with Dan and you know the progression that Evan's making?
Well, we see Evan or typically any post-op back, we'll see him back a week after the surgery. Then we see him about 4 to 6 weeks after that and then 4 to 6 weeks after that. So really, I don't see the patient, you know, I see him three times
right
within 2 months. Dan's seen him from 2 to 3 weeks after the surgery, twice a week, every day. So Dan's really the therapists build a great relationship. And Dan and I communicate. Dan gives us reports. We sign off on them. When Evan comes in, we check on it. And we have a protocol for every injury that we follow or that we treat that we basically put the protocol together, you know, both the doctors and the therapists. So we're all on the same page. If Evan would have been developing, you know, something that you've been falling off the curve, you know, Dan would have been emailing us, right, calling us, saying, hey, we got to get him in here. We got to check this out. So as far as when things are going great, you don't hear a bunch. When things go bad, it's just like with any patient. The patients who do great, sometimes they go away and I never see them again. The ones who struggle a little bit, we see them quite a bit more.
You know what's important, I think, in that story is you may not physically see Evan, but you know what's going on with Evan, because if there was anything going wrong, he'd be the first one. So you know he's the principal and he's the teacher, and if he needs to call the principal on you, he'll do it, Mr. Wick. Just so you know, he'll do it.
Oh, I know. I don't get in trouble very often, though.
It's that whole East Troy upbringing. I'm sure he's got that smile that I think he probably would. Dan, so the first couple of meetings that you have with him, like you said, bring some stories because they're boring. When do you know? You obviously know that he can then progress to the next step.
So Dr. Pennington and his staff lay out the protocol pretty nicely for us. It's right there. And I follow the protocol. And basically, it's just laid out like at X amount of weeks, we can start doing this. Now, I treat the protocol as like I have to follow the protocol, but it's not like the gold standard. Because some patients heal a little bit differently than others. Some patients come in that day, like, I feel great. Let's start doing stuff. I'm like, eh. But other patients, when we're at 6 weeks, all right, it's time to start active range of motion. But I'm still having X amount of pain. So, okay, let's treat this, take a step back a little bit. Just because we're at 6 weeks at the protocol doesn't mean we have to, like, do something right
now. So, Dr. Pennington, is that an age thing, do you think? Or is it, it varies?
It's variable on a lot of things. It's basically what Dan's talking about is getting motion back. I always tell people, they always say, what's the biggest risk of, you know, shoulder surgery when we're doing shoulders? Biggest risk is stiffness. Some people put down scar tissue, and, you know, we do the same thing all the time in every patient. Some people heal more robustly. They get this scar tissue, which makes Dan and, you know, in the patient's case, Evan's job a little tougher to break through that, because what Dan's talking about, and he would go into it more, if he has a, you know, just because it's 6 weeks out and I say, okay, you can start unleashing the dogs here and letting them move a little bit more. If he's not moving properly, getting them working on strengthening at that point will be counterproductive. That's why it's really important to have a therapist who knows what they're doing, like Dan. You know, having, you know, so just because it says at 6 weeks, okay, go with the strengthening. I see it a lot of times where people will come in and they'll be really stiff and not moving the shoulder the right way, and they'll have stopped their stretching, they'll have stopped all that and say, well, now we're doing the rubber band work and we're working on getting strong. You know, it's again, the therapist really knowing how the patient's moving. It's really important to have somebody who's in tune with what's going on.
Evan, how painful was, when you started working with Dan, how painful was the first couple?
I wouldn't say painful. I was just very sore. That was about it.
On purpose.
You do that on purpose?
Yep, because the worst thing is if he doesn't hurt, he's going to start using it in ways he's not supposed to. So we put a little bit of pain in there just to calm down.
Just inject the pain. How hard was it to sleep for you for a bit?
Pretty hard. I had to sleep sitting straight up. I had a block, so my arm was just straight out, and I just had to sleep sitting straight up.
Sling, okay.
It was hard.
Yeah, and you're right-handed, obviously, so everything that you know, riding and driving and tying your shoes.
Yeah, I didn't do a whole lot after surgery.
And I think that's probably good, right? We don't want them moving too quick. It's interesting. I've had two knee surgeries. The first one was back in high school, and I had what's called a joint mouse. I was in the hospital for 3 days. And then I had one a couple of years ago, and I was in for like 45 minutes, it seemed like. And the difference between back, I hate to say back in the day, but what's happened in your industry, Dr. Pennington, is incredible to me. It just is. How long did the surgery take with him?
Probably about 45 minutes.
45 minutes. 15 years ago, how long would that have taken, do you think?
Oh, his would have been, well, 15, let's go about 20 years ago. Yeah. Back in the old days, before we were really doing a lot of these things arthroscopically, his would have been a bear. He had what he's referring to, the block. He had a posterior labral tear, which means it's in the back of the shoulder, and those were really difficult to treat with an open approach. It would have been a hugely different process.
So his was in the back?
Well, that's where the majority of his tear was, in the posterior labrum, yes.
Is that why it was it was ready to go, and then when he unleashed the first throw and he felt it, it was ready to go. Even if he warmed up better, no matter what, it was going to happen then, correct?
His real injury was probably the what he was talking about, his senior year.
Right.
It was just a kind of a repetitive injury that was, he had a little tear, and then that throw that he made at Viterbo kind of was a straw that broke the camel's back, probably extended the tear a little bit and made it worse.
How discouraging for you, right? You're all excited, here we go, get it going, and you unleash that first throw and boom.
You know, it really did kind of, you know, make me a downer at that point, because I was told going in, you know, as a freshman with a senior catcher ahead of me, I was going to start some games. And as soon as that happened, I was like, well, there goes my shot.
There it is. Yeah. But you're going to be okay. So do you redshirt then? Is that?
I didn't redshirt, actually. What it is, I got a cortisone shot. I talked to my dad about it, and we're like, you know what, go ahead, let's try it. I ended up starting 7 games, playing in 13. After 7, you can't redshirt.
Okay.
And we decided, you know what, I'm just going
to
play it out.
Well, sophomore year's going to be a good year, right?
Let's hope so.
Yeah. He'll be ready. When do you guys start getting together with all that?
Well, we start class on the 29th.
Okay.
So I'm leaving on the 23rd. You know, we'll probably start.
He's not going to the gym to throw, though, until when?
No. I won't. Unfortunately, he won't be working with me when we start throwing. He's going to be transferring over to another clinic out there closer to college. So,
if he was here, Dan, what would your guess be? What your guess would be the next time that he can, you know, not just kind of soft toss, but actually start throwing? If you had to say, look, it's probably going to be after, are you looking at?
I mean, we're looking at
October, November.
Yeah, I mean, the 4 months post off. So what does that bring us? September, basically.
Okay.
Yeah. So I mean, 4 months, and then he's got to pass a couple of different tests coming from me and Dr. Pennington.
That's
as well.
The key.
I mean, basically, no pain. All the special tests that we do have to be negative, basically, and then he's got to show me some good like rotator cuff strength, scapular strength, and then he's got to get Dr. Pennington's green light to start throwing as well.
Hey, last question before we get to a break. Do you love young guys who try to pretend there's no pain and you know there is?
No, I don't love them at all.
But you can tell, can't you? You catch those guys all the time, don't you?
Of course. I think I'll test Evan's memory. I think when I met Evan and his mother and we were talking about the surgery, I think really the overall goal with him, as he said, he wanted to get through a season. I think it was literally almost a day or two after he was done playing baseball or he came home from college, we fixed him. And the plan was, okay, we're going to fix you and we're setting our sights on your season. Fall ball is important. He's going to be working out with the team. But what we told him was he's going to get fixed, and our goal is to really focus on his season, which is next spring.
Right.
That's the important part. So this fall ball season is going to be rehab, getting back into a throwing program. But to answer your question, his goal is to be on the field come
right.
spring.
And he's not even in the cages swinging it back, correct, Dan? We don't want that at all.
Nope.
No, and he's good for you. Let's get you a break. Other side of the break, we'll continue our conversation. Evan Wick, he's a catcher from Viterbo. Dan Garbaz, he is the director of physical therapy, he's a certified athletic trainer, and my co-host, Dr. Bill Pennington. This is the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. I was thinner and better looking when this band was on. REO Speedwagon. Okay, I wasn't really either. Music today brought to you by one of our special guests, Dan Garbaz. He does a great job, certified athletic trainer. Also joined in studio, catcher from Viterbo. He is an East Troy boy. He's doing good stuff, man. We're going to keep him from throwing, I'll tell you that. Evan Wick. And my co-host this week, Dr. Bill Pennington. Go to mymosh.com for more information on Dr. Pennington and the things they do at Mosh. You know, you have a special place. You're a big baseball guy. Always been. Son was a great baseball. He's still playing?
Yeah, he went professional now. He graduated, and he's selling orthobiologics down in St. Louis. So he's one of those NCAA athletes that you see that they say when they turn professional, they put on a pair of dress shoes
right.
and a button shirt. Came home last night for the first time, drove up, and looked like a real businessman. So.
Man, one of the, and I coached against him. You know, he went to university school, one of the best athletes, I think, that I've come out of that school, right? That's not
weird. Oh, there were a lot of good athletes out of there. He did okay.
But he was one, he would be in that conversation.
He did okay. There were a lot of good guys who came through that school.
Well, I appreciate your modesty, but I'm from the outside looking in, and I'm saying that as fact. So, hey, before we get more, I've got a couple other questions for Evan. The epidemic of people having this Tommy John surgery, it seems to be growing, and I'm wondering why that is.
Overuse. Jimmy Andrews is obviously one of the names that everybody recognizes, and this is one of his big campaigns that he's doing now. It's just kids are throwing way too much. I think the good news is that people are becoming educated. Pitch counts are now being mandated more because, you know, unfortunately, it's funny. Dan will tell you my philosophy is when I hear about, you know, kids come in or I talk to coaches, they say, oh, well, his mechanics are great. And to me, when a high school coach, a youth ball coach talks about how great the kid's mechanics are, it means the kid throws hard and he throws strikes, and that's their mechanics. Truth is, they're throwing these kids too much. Hopefully that's going to curtail in the future and we're going to cut it off. But then the real important thing is we have guys like Dan. Dan, as you've mentioned, he's a doctor of physical therapy, a former trainer, and he has taken it upon himself to go out and get educated and get involved in programs to prevent these things from happening to our kids and our athletes. He's gone out and got a lot of training on that and put together a great program down at Mosh.
Well, and that's the question that I was going to have for you, Dan. If there is a youth group organization that would like for you guys to come out and talk to them about some of the things they're hearing on today's show, are you willing to do that? Can they have you come out and talk to them?
Oh, absolutely. I got everything's all set up. I mean, just the simple Q&A if they want, like, what I look for in pitchers and just patients in general, anything they want to talk about. I mean, again, they can email me. They can call my office as well. I mean, yeah.
At mymosh.com, they can find you there, correct? Is there any...
I mean, basically, because I'm not on the Mosh website, but okay. I'm on the Wheaton, now Ascension website.
Yep.
And basically, my email is my first name, Dan, dot my last name, GARBACZ, at WFHC.org, or call my office at 414-325-4854.
4854?
Correct.
That's 325-4854.
Correct.
Yeah, or you know what? Get a hold of me here at the station. If you didn't get that, if you're driving, call me at the station. I'll get you in contact with Dan. Hey, Evan, we only got a minute left. You're going to listen to what these guys say, and for the first time in a long time, you're going to be able to throw pain-free. That's exciting.
It is exciting. I mean, it's something I'm looking forward to, going through this process, to actually throw a baseball and not feel pain.
When's the last time that happened, do you think? Sophomore year? Junior year?
Probably end of my junior year.
End of your junior year. Last time you've thrown a baseball pain-free. Man, it's going to be unbelievable. When you're able to unleash that thing again and not feel any pain, you're going to you'll call Dan, you'll call Dr. Pennington and thank them for sure. So,
oh, yeah.
Good patient. He's a good patient for you, Dan. Yeah.
He made my life easy.
Now, did he really?
Oh, yeah.
He listens and does what...
When a patient says, I'm not doing anything unless you tell me to, I mean, it's a good start.
That's a great start. Dr. Pennington, next week you and I will be in. What are we talking next week?
We're going to talk about orthobiologics. It's kind of a growing field. A lot of people have heard about PRP, correct, stem cell therapy, getting them injected everywhere. It's new. It's sometimes, I think, in my mind, controversial, but it's something that I'm getting asked about all the time, and a lot of the docs at Mosh are offering these services, so I thought we'd talk a little bit about it.
Thank you for coming back and doing this show. It's I think our listeners love it, and I think it's really important, especially this time of year with high school sports. So thank you. It's good to see you guys.
Thank you. Great to be back.
Have a great day. This is the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.